Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back. It's another edition, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Recording, I don't know, we do an hour. We're not on the air now, so we can kind of wing it how we're going to do it. But from coast to coast, from border to border, you can find us at where all the nice, the cool, the excellent podcasts are found. Google Play, what is it, iTunes. Now there's like a million of them, Stitcher. And, aren't you guys like, Wesley, you up on that kind of stuff? What's all the different platforms now that you can?
I think the kids are using TikTok.
Is that what it is? All right.
I don't know.
Hey, listen.
iTunes, Spotify, wherever.
That's it. There we go. He threw in the Spotify. Look, let's take a minute to be serious here. There's obviously a lot going on with the coronavirus, but we want to keep this in perspective. So I put this together. Our crack staff, or is it staff on crack? Our crack staff of statisticians put this up. So just to kind of put it in perspective, maybe calm your nerves a little bit, but actually, the Clintons killed more Americans than the coronavirus has, okay? Well, hold on, sorry. I meant to say the flu kills more Americans than the Clintons. Dang it. No, what I'm trying to say is the flu kills more people than the coronavirus. But just to be safe, make sure you wash your hands if you're exposed to the Clintons.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That was our public good service advice. Announcement. With me, Heath Elson-San.
Hello.
How's it going, Heath?
Good. How you doing, gentlemen?
We haven't seen you in a while. You've been in. Well, actually, the show's kind of been on hiatus, and you weren't on the last show.
The show's been quarantined.
Yeah, and Wesley Coleman with us as well. We're going to talk a little Drew Brees news. Also, David Onyemata, a guy that I've liked from the beginning. I know Heath is not super high on him, but the word on the street is starting to be. I think Underhill came out with an article saying he's starting to hear rumors that David Onyemata might command such big money, the Saints aren't going to be able to keep them. Now, I say aren't, but the Saints are the kind of team that I think they kind of place a value on a player, and once they get to that value, then they say, hey, thanks for participating. They give them their trophy, and they send them on home. But we can talk about that. Another rumor that's circling the internet, Jimmy Graham. Now, Jimmy Graham, when he was with the Saints, absolute difference maker. Bring him back to the team. I think he changes a lot of the issues that we've had the last couple of years. He improves the team. But let's talk about if this version, the 2020 version of Jimmy Graham, if he returned, would he help? And we'd like to do the Saints report post of the week. And this one's going to be about Kamara. What we're going to do, we're going to talk about Kamara. There's a post that's on Saints Report. You can go over there. It's www.saintsreport.com. And you can read through it, and you can kind of get an idea. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get the input of some of the people who post on it and talk a little bit about Kamara, which we did talk a little bit about him last week, Wesley. Is he worth the money that we expect him to command? There was a tweet that he put out that said that he was playing on one leg at 75%. So was he really? I mean, he obviously wasn't the same player. But let's start off with some Drew Brees talk. And the way I'm going to present this to you guys is it sounds like Drew Brees is saying, hey, that hometown discount that we have talked about for a long time, looks like Drew Brees knows, and I think everyone suspects, that this is his last run at it. The team, this is the last year you could truly expect the Saints to keep the vast majority of the team together and make a Super Bowl run before we have to, and I don't want to say rebuild, but reload, because we're going to lose some players. We're going to have some other players step up. We have to make some moves. And if you were Drew Brees, and I'm going to start off with Heath, if you were Drew Brees and you go to the team with what we're hearing is, hey, I'll take $25 million a year, which, I mean, granted, that's still a lot. But the market for a top-notch quarterback and Drew Brees, despite any decline in his physical abilities, it didn't really show in the stat sheet. He's still a top-five quarterback. So top-five quarterbacks are making, man, and with the new salary cap, am I fair to say $40 million for a top-notch quarterback is not unreasonable?
It's getting close. I mean, they offered Dak 33. He wants more than that, and he's Dak. And so you got to figure a top-notch – no, yeah, I mean, a top-notch quarterback, the next real guy up, yeah, he's going to be flirting hard with that $40 million if not getting that.
Okay, so Heath, if you're Drew Brees, you're getting 25, that means there's 15, you know, let's say 12 to 15 left on the table, and you're Drew Brees, you walk in, you sit down with Mickey Loomis, and what you say to him is, Mickey, look, I want to make a run at this Super Bowl. I will play for $25 million, but with the $15 million that I'm leaving on the table, you must get this particular position. Not necessarily a player, but you must address this position with a top-notch player that, you know, runs about $15 million. So what position is it? And even if you have a couple of players in mind, you know, give us your thoughts on it, Heath.
Well, I don't necessarily – I'm not real familiar with the free agent list right now that's available. But what I would say, it's not on offense, believe it or not. What I would say is if I was Drew Brees right now, I would tell the Saints, you got to get the defensive backfield sorted out. And the reason I say that is because we've seen Drew Brees still continue and the Saints still continue to be able to make plays late in the game where it should have been Drew Brees' umpteenth millionth game-winning drive to turn right back around and watch the defense give it up, going back the other way. Whether it be the Minnesota Miracle, whether it be the last Minnesota game, which, you know, we won't even talk about the offensive pass interference. Minnesota was probably going to score on that anyway, no matter how that went.
Sure.
Just game after game after game, there's been so many times when Drew Brees and the Saints offense were able to come back and get it done despite not having another top-notch wide receiver and all that we spend all our time talking about. I think Drew Brees has enough toys on offense because he's Drew Brees, but he's got to, you know, and of course we could argue about where on the defense the real liability is, the defensive line, blah, blah, blah. But with the uncertainties right now around the position group, I'm going to go defensive backfield.
Okay, you know what? I think it's pretty great thinking outside the box because, you know, I'm over here thinking, okay, do you tell them you need another guard for better protection? Do you need a wide receiver that we've, man, you know, I think not just myself, but most of everything I read on the internet is most of the fans think that wide receiver, you took in a different direction. I find that pretty interesting. So we'll dig a little deeper into that. But first, let's get Wesley's input. Wesley, give me yours. You're Drew Brees. You're sitting at the table talking to Mickey. You're leaning back. It's the offseason. You probably got a cigar in your mouth, and you're just kind of waxing poetically about what you think it's going to take. And you tell him you want that extra 15. You got to get the guy that I want. What position does he play?
Yeah, I think it's easy, like you said, to say, well, Drew Brees is going to want a guard to block for him, or, you know, where's a quick twitch receiver that can get open, you know, quick across the middle and all. But I'll read my Chinese fortune cookie that says that the greatest predictor of the future is the past. There is one time ever that Drew Brees has said, I'll take a hometown discount. I'll give you a discount or I'll do a contract restructure. And Heath mentioned it. It was when Josh Norman, a defensive back, was available and those two teams going after him and he was going to get big money. And it's the only time that that's ever come out of Drew Brees' mouth or ever come out or been rumored about was when he was willing to take a discount. And it was for a big defensive player to help on the other side of the ball. I think that kind of what Heath alluded to, I think Drew Brees is got a lot of confidence in himself. And I just don't know if I could see him walking in and going, the player that we need has to be on the offensive side of the ball. I think that Drew Brees thinks he's pretty dang good.
Right.
And I think that he thinks that if he plays the right game, he's played with a whole bunch of receivers that have never been Pro Bowls.
Right.
And he's been doing that for a long time. And he's taken a whole bunch of running backs that as long as they could catch the ball, he made them pretty crazy weapons and got some running backs, some big contracts out there. I kind of agree with Heath. I think that he'd probably go for a defensive guy too. I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's the only time he's ever done it before.
Well, you guys really are making me think outside the box because, I mean, to be completely honest, both of you are thinking, and Wesley used a reference that, you know, I remember that. I forgot about it as I'm talking now, but as you pointed out, I remember that. And it makes me think that it reminds me of that game. If you remember, if you watched The Price is Right when you were a kid, there's the game where you start off with like three prizes and you have the three price tags in your hand. You run over there and you put the price tags next to the thing, and then you run back and you pull the handle and it says you got two right out of four. Then you run over there and you switch two of them and you pull it back and you pull it again. Now this time you only have one right. And you go back and, well, what I'm worried about is that what you're saying is absolutely right. But Drew Brees is now not quite the quarterback he used to be. And as soon as you say, man, let's get that money and get that big-time defensive free agent, you get him. And all of a sudden, Drew Brees just can't quite get it done with the receivers he has or the offensive line he has. And while I do think y'all are right in the sense that as the team – look at what the Broncos did with Manning back in the day. It's like as the quarterback gets older, he can still make plays. He can still make the right decisions, but you have to have that great defense behind him and a running back to take the pressure off of him. Looks like what the Saints are going to do, it's not necessarily a running back, but looks like what the Saints want to do is bring in Taysom Hill, have him play more snaps at quarterback, and bring in a whole nother element, and Drew Brees gets a couple of snaps off, and it takes pressure off of him by bringing that developmental aspect into the game. So I'm going to say, based on what I think the Saints are probably going to do going forward, is it's not necessarily a guy who would make Drew Brees better, but a guy that would help Taysom Hill be a better quarterback when he does take snaps under center. So now this story I'm telling you is getting a little convoluted, but I think another big man, another tight end type, a guy that you don't have to be super accurate with, a guy that you can put the ball up there. And so all roads lead me back.
Can this guy block?
Well, okay, if you're thinking that this is my transition into the Jimmy Graham conversation, it could be. But, okay, so what I want is I want Jimmy Graham of like 6 years ago. So that's my guy, is a tight end slash big-bodied wide receiver that, because to me, to help Brees, and I'm not saying Brees is saying this or thinking this, but to me, to help Brees means to help Brees win a Super Bowl. And so helping Brees may not be the guard that he needs to get a little bit more protection or the receiver he needs to complete a couple of more passes, but a guy who will make the team better. So I agree with both of you, but I'm going to go with a big-bodied tight end, and I want to say receiver, but, man, so why don't we go ahead and transition into talking about Jimmy Graham? Because the old Jimmy Graham, the Jimmy Graham I remember, not the Jimmy Graham I saw playing with the Packers or the Jimmy Graham I saw playing in Seattle, but again, he wasn't playing with Drew Brees. He wasn't playing in our offense. Could he be the guy that is the difference, and at what price? So, Wesley, tell me a little bit about Jimmy Graham. What is he? What does he bring to the team? How much will he cost the Saints? Because we passed on him last year. We passed on him because he wanted more money.
And we were right. Let's just be clear about that. Like, it was 2 years ago, but we were right to have passed on him, because in the past 2 years combined with Green Bay, he's had five total touchdowns.
Yikes.
So if Jimmy Graham is coming here, so I think a lot of people forget too, Jimmy Graham was only with the Saints for 4 years, and his last season here was 2014, or I guess he's 4.5 years as he came up. But it's been a long time since he was here, and if you haven't watched what he's been doing the last few years, the end of his Saints career was a lot of short arming and him like scared of contact, it seemed like. And he's gotten really good at doing that short arm thing for such a big guy. I've watched him over the past few years do a whole bunch of that. If he comes here, it has to be something that's special for Jimmy Graham to right the wrongs. And he wants to go out with Drew, because one thing he's always had is a lot of respect for Drew. And he would have to understand that he is not coming here to probably be our first or second tight end. He's coming here to be our third tight end. He's going to be a good red zone target or good third down target, but he's not coming here to get the ball thrown to him 75 or 80 times. He's going to have to accept a contract that makes sense of something like that. I mean, he would have to come here on a super cheap contract. Of what he's done the last 2 years, I just don't see how he could he's not going to have other offers on the market, people trying to pay him more than we would. It would be an emotional thing, and why we brought here, and the relationship he has with Drew, and hoping they can rekindle that.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, Heath, with Jimmy Graham, I don't think that, listen, he's obviously had a wake-up call. He left the company of Drew Brees and all of a sudden realized that he's not as good. And it's happened to a lot of receivers. They just simply aren't as good when they're not playing with Drew Brees. Or, you know, they didn't move on to another guy who was as precise, who could put the ball right on him the way Drew Brees does. And their statistics, it impacted them negatively. So now Jimmy Graham comes back here. He can't possibly think he's going to be the guy. He wasn't the guy anywhere he was in the past. So he comes here. Will he fit in as a guy who's going to be the third option, fourth option?
Well, you know, so first of all, he should have a ton of respect for Drew Brees, because quite frankly, without Drew Brees, we wouldn't even be talking about you. Jimmy Graham would be a footnote in NFL history, probably, if not
in the annals of football history.
The anals, yeah, deep down in the anals, all the way up in the colon area. But look, I was not a fan of the thought of bringing back Jimmy Graham 2 years ago and 4 years ago, the time before that or whenever it was. It seems like, you know, every other year or so now we got to start talking about whether Jimmy Graham's coming back to the Saints. It was a pass for me then, and for the most part, it's a pass for me now. I don't think Jimmy Graham has the physical attributes anymore. And so, you know, like Wesley said, you know, yes, if Jimmy Graham understands that he's coming in to be kind of a special situation kind of player, you know, the equivalent of a third down pass rusher on defense or whatever, and that's all he's going to do, and he's going to take the kind of money that's worth. Okay, well, sure. I don't hate Jimmy Graham or anything. It's not, I don't want to see him here. It's just, I certainly don't put any stock in Jimmy Graham as coming back and being any kind of a significant impact on the offense. I just think he's past that point.
Well, I would agree with you. Matter of fact, I'm making it sound like that's even thought. It's obvious. He's not the player he used to be. Having said that, I still think that he's a talented pass catcher that still has the ability to get open in certain situations.
Yeah, I would say too. I realized I probably came across pretty negative with how I was standing. If he's willing, like he said, if he's willing to take that contract and understand that role, I'm definitely a proponent of Jimmy Graham coming back here for that kind of money. I mean, over the last 2 years where they haven't been good, he's averaging 45 catches per year and just over 500 yards. Hey, if that can be our third receiver here, fourth receiver here, getting 50 catches, 45, 50 catches and get 500-600 yards, that's a super valuable thing that we need. But as long as we're understanding that's what he's coming here to do, I'm definitely a fan of the idea, but not at $4, $5, $6 million a year.
Okay, so one of the things I'll say about, and this is where it gets complicated. So I'm sitting here talking about a guy that could end up making Brees a better player, a big, big, strong guy that catches balls over the middle, not someone with necessarily deep speed, but someone who muscle down a ball and play tough in the middle of the field where Drew Brees does his best work. I don't know. Graham might physically be that guy, but not heart wise. He's just not a guy that's a big tough guy. He's just not a tough guy. And I think right now what the Saints need more than anything is, yeah, quick twitch would be nice and get open immediately, but he better also be a tough guy, because quite frankly, it has become painfully obvious that other teams in the league realize they're going to funnel everything inside, then hit the receivers, and they make it very tight in there. And Jimmy Graham, I don't know if that's an environment that he's going to succeed in. Heath, I remember when he was here before Wesley joined the show, Tomas used to call him soft serve. And one of the most frustrating things about him was the fact that he's such a big guy. I mean, not just big, but I mean, you look at him and he's muscular and he's, you know, and he was the softest guy on the field, and it was so frustrating.
He's that is definitely not Jimmy Graham's MO. Jimmy Graham's not going across the middle and knocking him. He's so far away mentally from what Michael Thomas is that it's not even funny. You know, and so he's definitely not going to fill that role. You know, like Wesley mentioned, his arms were getting shorter and shorter and shorter at the end of his stay here. I mean, he was making T-Rex look like Stretch Armstrong.
Right. Now,
go ahead.
The only reason that I would say even consider him is simply, and I'll use this, and I know it's an old analogy I use, when you're playing some pickup basketball, you play against a team, and this other guy they pick up is a long guy, he's athletic. He's not a great basketball player, but when you have two other scorers, he seems to get every rebound. He runs the court. He gets putbacks. He gets layups. And next time you go to pick a team, you pick him first. And so he's like your main scoring option. And what happens? Well, all of a sudden, he's just not that effective. So where I'm going with this is maybe if Jimmy Graham, you know, he's not going to be the first option. He probably won't even be the second option. So maybe he's going to be matched up with a little less coverage, less guys running at him to hit him after he catches the ball. So you kind of hope, you know, again, with, you know, we're going to talk about it later, but assuming, you know, you have Kamara or back like him, you have a back, you have Jerry Cook, you know, at tight end. So, you know, it's going to be an argument whether or not you might debate that we have two similar type tight ends. Neither one are great blockers, even though Cook seems to be a lot tougher than Graham. But you have him. You have, you know, our running backs. You have, obviously, Thomas. And I would still imagine, even if we did sign a guy like Graham, that the Saints are going to upgrade the wide receiver position. So would it be nice to have Graham as the third or fourth or in even some situations the fifth option, where you don't have linebackers running at him full speed at the snap of the ball? So then he takes a little bit less pounding. I think that that could definitely be an upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cook and Graham are similar in a lot of ways. Not in toughness. Cook is a better blocker than Graham. Graham basically didn't block at all, really. But when he was, well, obviously now with the Saints, they've used him the same way. But even when he was with the Raiders, that was one of the things that got me excited about the potential of signing Cook, was I saw a great video breaking down of how the Raiders used Cook and how similar it was to Sean Payton's offense when Jimmy Graham was here, and how they used Jimmy Graham and that he could do a lot of the same things. Now, that said, I mean, while you were talking, and I'm letting my mind start to go thinking, well, what if Jimmy Graham still has, you know, 75-80% of what he had 6 years ago? And like you said, he's not the first option. What happens when you line up Michael Thomas on the field and they got to worry about Jared Cook, and you got Kamara who could swing out in the backfield, and now you got Jimmy Graham, you know, in a two tight end set there? You know, it's certainly intriguing. I just, you know, it would have to be at the right money. That's really all there is to it. I don't think the Saints could afford to spend money in that area, especially not for Jimmy Graham with the other needs that they have.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Heath. Can you imagine, like, you know how we know how tall cornerbacks are in the league? Like, there's a couple of teams that are lucky enough to have a cornerback over 6 foot tall. But you got to put somebody big on Michael Thomas because how physical he is. So you got a big guy on Michael Thomas, and obviously a safety shading over there too, because he's got to be double teamed. Well, let's say you put your second biggest guy on Jared Cook, who's 6 foot seven, and that guy's, you know, 5 foot 11. Well, then you've got your last cornerback that's 5 foot eight, 5 foot nine, having to deal with Jimmy Graham. He doesn't matter if he short arms the ball. He's still, I mean, Drew can throw the ball at his head, and that cornerback can't even get up to it. So there's some interesting, we can do some sort of skyscraper package or something. And
right. Yeah.
There's not enough tall defensive people to guard those guys.
Yeah.
So, bringing the Twin Towers to the football field.
No. And I honestly, I think that that's the direction the Saints have to go on two fronts. Again, Drew Brees no longer going to threaten down the field the way he used to. So you need receivers that you can throw open. You need guys that can catch the ball in that 20-yard and under range. So Jimmy Graham's a guy, while he's not the toughest, if he doesn't have the best players or the attention, because that's really where you take the hits, is that, well, as soon as you catch the ball, there's two guys running at you plus the guy that's covering you because everybody's focused on stopping you. That wouldn't be the case here. So I could see him being very effective in the Saints offense if he accepts that role. And again, back to what we're saying, you know, you got to be talking more in the $6 to $8 million range. And I might even think that eight might be a little bit too much for him. So, you know, if you think maybe he would, I don't know, 6 to 8 sounds reasonable. If it gets beyond that, you run into a whole nother thing, is that you just simply can't afford them, even though it's not a lot of money relative to you just can't afford it, because the Saints still need to upgrade the offensive line.
I don't think I'd even want to give him the 6-8, to be honest.
Either.
You know, the most success that Jimmy Graham had when he was with the Saints was that perfect timing Drew Brees, that seam route that he used to run. And Drew Brees is throwing a ball about 15 yards over the linebacker's head, who was desperately trailing behind him trying to keep up.
Right.
You know, Jimmy Graham was never that across the middle 10-yard guy and block a guy out with his body. And that really wasn't what he did. It was that seam route. And I don't know Jimmy Graham has the wheels for that anymore. That would be my question. But it is an intriguing thought.
Right. All right. So I tell you what, let's bring up David Onyemata. There was a article and some discussion by Nick Underhill, and he talked about, and he said, you know, he's hearing chatter about David Onyemata. Now, David Onyemata, a guy that, most would consider, you know, a developmental prospect when he came into the league. He only played a couple of years of professional or American football in Canada, and now he's developed into a pretty good, although I think I'd get an argument from Heath, he's developed into a pretty good defensive tackle. He's known to be extremely stout against the run. He's athletic. And here's where it gets confusing, is because he is a pass rusher, but it's just simply hard outside. Guys like Donald, most defensive tackles just simply don't get a lot of sacks. So it would take an NFL scout to really tell you if David Onyemata is a guy who's a difference maker in the passing game. And I would question it anyway. But having said that, he's a guy that I definitely wouldn't want to lose. But the word is that somebody might overpay for him. So is that a big loss? A little bit of a loss. We have pretty good depth. Because here's the thing I'd want to point out. People talked about Sheldon Rankins and his injury history. Now, he broke his ankle. You know, I keep referring to Heath. We've talked about this, Heath. I don't consider that broken ankle, man. If somebody rolls up, a 300-pounder rolls up on your ankle in goal line drills, you know, I don't know if that's injury prone. But he did have the Achilles. And then last year when he went out, it wasn't necessarily a season-ending injury, but it was an injury that would have kept him out through the playoffs. So once you get towards the end of the season, when they keep putting these guys on IR, it doesn't mean that they were, you know, it's a long-term injury. It just means it might have been an ankle and they won't be healthy for 4 weeks. Well, 4 weeks, the playoffs are over. The Super Bowl's over. So there's really, you might as well just put them on IR. So the question is, you know, if Rankins is coming back and you still have Brown and Stallworth played very well, are you going to re-sign Onyemata? Is he a guy that you think is a difference maker on the team, Heath?
Well, so to get back to your point about, I wouldn't really argue with you about Onyemata. I mean, honestly, I had really high hopes for Onyemata. And, when Rankins went out last year, I think with Onyemata, it might be a case of I had given myself too high of expectations of him, because I thought he was getting ready to have like a serious breakout year and just blow up.
I agree with that.
Especially, huh?
I said I agree with that. I thought that I was expecting, like, after the year, the playoff, remember the playoffs, and he hit Cam Newton really hard, and that game, it seemed towards the end of the season that he was really, like, he was flashing on tons of plays in the passing game. I was expecting him to turn into, not Darnold, but something approaching that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I really did. I thought he was getting ready to blow up. This year, I may not have watched him closely enough. I know I said I didn't think he had that great of a year. I know you guys disagree with that a little bit. Maybe he did do a little more than I realized he did. But the other point about him was that I think it's going to wind up becoming a choice. Now, of course, I say that if Rankins keeps staying injured. But I figured it would eventually come to a choice between either him or Rankins. They couldn't afford to pay him both.
I agree with that.
You know. But Rankins may be removing himself from the conversation by default. I mean, the obvious answer might be Onyemata, just simply because, and of course, you know, as far as the injury prone thing, no, I agree. You have freak injuries. The problem is when the same guy keeps getting them, it doesn't matter if it's the same injury or, you know, you just, if you can't stay on the field, ultimately you're injury prone. And it doesn't matter how it happens. You just, whether you just got bad luck, whether you just, you know, the guy rolls up your leg and breaks your ankle or whatever. But the bottom line is that he just can't stay on the field. And that's all that really matters. It doesn't matter what else. If he can't stay on the field, he's no help. And, you know, and I don't think he's just automatically going to go, well, oh, you know, yeah, I've been injured and all, so I'm just going to go ahead and take a little small contract. You know, he was still a first-round draft pick. I'm sure he still thinks a lot of himself. And so if you give Onyemata big money the next year, I think you've pretty much already conceded that, you know, if Rankins come back and does anything, then you're really going to be in a tough spot.
Well, now, here's the thing, too, is that Onyemata had already passed up Rankins on the depth chart. So that's going to be the question, is do the Saints feel comfortable enough that not only could they sign Rankins to a more reasonable contract, do they feel comfortable with his health? And something that I don't know, they're professional players, but if Rankin, how's he going to feel when David Onyemata gets a huge contract and he pretty much knows that's the writing on the wall for him? Wesley?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, I wonder if this is one of those things where we're building this up to be a bigger deal than it is, that David Onyemata is going to have a bigger market because we've seen a couple flash plays. I feel like this is one of the guys that were like, oh, we're never going to get him on the practice squad. 12 teams are going to line up to sign him. And then he's on our practice squad all year.
Right.
I like David Onyemata. I want David Onyemata back on our team. But, I mean, I've looked at a couple of lists of, like, top 100 free agents. On all of them, Eli Apple's in the top 75 or 80, and David Onyemata's not on the list. It's kind of a weird thing. So, I mean, we've watched what Eli Apple's done the last couple of years, and even if you're not a big David Onyemata fan, I think most of us would agree we'd rather have David Onyemata back than Eli Apple as a starter in our defense right now. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I feel that way.
I'd agree with you.
So, no, I'd agree.
Again, Nick Underhill and some of these people have a lot more inside information than I ever claim to, and if he's hearing – the latest that I heard today is that somebody said that David Onyemata might possibly get up to $10 million a year in a contract with the way that the defensive line free agency is this year. That blows my mind. And if he does, great job for him. Terrible scouting by the team. They're never going to get that money back. And it would be terrible for us to spend that money. As good as I think he's a great rotation player for us, $10 million is a lot of money in the NFL. And I don't want him at that, but I'd love to have him back on our team.
Well, here's where I disagree with you. I would disagree with you in the sense that I think that anybody who gives him the big money is projecting him, and I know we expected that by now. Oh, he should have been a difference maker. He should have stepped up more. He should have be more disruptive. But we have to keep into consideration, and maybe y'all don't, but I'm going to keep in consideration that there are teams that are projecting him like, you know, let's say it takes 3 years for a defensive tackle to really develop, that maybe because of his background, it might take him 5 years. And that now where, oh, wait, we waited for him to, but now is when so they might be projecting him as more than they are a guy that's in his fourth year that played 3 or 4 years of college football and all of his high school football. So I think that might be part of it. It has to be somewhat projection. And they say, man, he has all the numbers, and I'm talking about size, strength.
Well, I'll say this. Yeah, no, I agree. But if they're looking at the last time the Saints have kind of been through this with Akeem Hicks, remember that guy?
Yep,
and
yep,
so
yep.
Now he's a pretty damn good player, and I'll be honest with you, Onyemata is ahead of him at this point.
Certainly.
When he left the Saints, you know, then I never thought we'd hear from Akeem Hicks again when he left the Saints. And then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years later, he's big time. And so
yes,
any GMs out there that remember that whole deal, they're looking at Onyemata going, this guy in 2 more years is going to be huge, you know.
I think there's a Ryan Nielsen factor in here, too. Like, we hired Ryan Nielsen in 2017, and he has gotten the most out of our defensive line as our defensive line coach. He's gotten the best production out of these defensive linemen. And I believe since he's been here, we haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in a game. And that's pretty spectacular. So there might be some of that, too, where Ryan Nielsen's getting the most possible play out of a player like this that's going to go in and get paid somewhere And then maybe not show that again. But yeah, Akeem Hicks is definitely a good reminder of somebody that we didn't use to their best ability.
Right. We traded away. And I think it's interesting because I don't know if there's a better parallel out there than that. He was a guy, came from Canada. Now, the only thing is he played high school football. He was a highly talented recruit for LSU. And so he ends up, there's some NCAA issues, and he ends up going to Canada to play. So that tells you a little something right there, that he was obviously developmentally ahead, way ahead of Onyemata. But he comes here, it takes him a little bit longer to develop, and we saw things, and we thought, man, that guy is a, at least I did, I mean, he's a brute, man. Look at, well, next thing you know, you trade him away. Did we trade him away to New England? Then New England lets him go, and I don't know if they traded him or just cut him or what have you. Next thing you know, Chicago has him, and he's a beast. He is a wrecking ball in the middle of that defense. And where I'm going with this, and we can move on after this comment, is teams are going to pay him, and I think they're projecting the same kind of thing. They're going to say, hey, we're going to give you this money because we expect that while you're going into your fifth year, you're going to be the guy that develops in your sixth year. So I think that it might not be outrageous to see somebody paying him that kind of money. All right, let's fast forward. Head over to SaintsReport.com. There is a post, and it's Twitter. It starts with NFL.com's tweet that says, 3 NFL seasons, 3 Pro Bowl selections, and Saints running back Alvin Kamara. And it's his highlights. And Alvin Kamara retweets that, and he says, on one leg at 75%, but we back to 100 and a heart. Now, first thing that struck me was the heart thing. That's very sweet. I thought it was a touching addition to his post, his tweet. But here's the thing. What we saw last year, maybe I'm not being fair. And after seeing this, what if he really was that entire season that banged up? I think the thing that I'm going to start this off with before I hand it off to you guys is that, if anything, what we found out is that Alvin Kamara is not a lead back in this league. I'm sorry. Once he's hurt, once he's banged up, and not to say he's not a tough guy, not that he doesn't run hard, because he does. But once he's banged up, he became almost, I mean, he just became just another guy. He was very ineffective. I shouldn't say that. Is that fair? He was as effective as some guys who are on, you know, the middle tier, the 15 to 20 guys. Lots of guys can do what he did.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so Do we pay him the $15 million that he's more than likely going to expect based on the fact that we think he'll be the back that we saw his first 3 years? Wesley?
Well,
okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what's he supposed to say? He's saying the right thing, letting us all know he can do better and 100%. Now, and to be fair to him, I think I was reminded watching the highlight video, you could see on the highlight video after some of the plays that he was nursing something and he wasn't feeling good, and his lower body wasn't there. Having said that, I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to by letting us know that he wasn't at 100% and that he deserves more money and a bigger contract. I mean, let's not pretend like Alvin Kamara doesn't have an agenda here too. Two other tweets that he did this week was one, and I'm going to paraphrase this because me and him speak sort of the same language. He said, get it while it's good, because don't nothing last forever. And I just want to get wealthy with the family and make crazy memories. That's all. This is posturing. Like he's letting us know that he needs some money and he wants to get the big contract. But I think it's going to come down to like whether or not we can pay that. And I love Alvin Kamara. I like his attitude. I like the way he's embraced New Orleans and become a part and living down there right next to the Superdome and all. But he's not posturing in my mind of why we should give him $14 or $15 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Kamara. You know, you got it absolutely right. He's not a lead back. He's not a bell cow. He can't be. I think we've clearly seen that. Now, the thing about Kamara is that when he's right, and he obviously was not right for most of last year. I think he was early on, and we all noticed that he got hurt. He went out. I think he kind of tried to come back too soon. He was hurt again, and he was never quite the same after that. But, you know, if they were to utilize Murray in the same way they did Ingram, and then Alvin Kamara goes back to those certain plays, you know, really where his value came in. You know, this is a guy to catch 80 passes. You know, this is your second wide receiver in essence. You know, he's only catching him 10 yards. He's not going to average 20 yards a catch or whatever, but he's extremely valuable coming out of the backfield. Now, I don't know that you can pay $15 million for that, but he certainly has value, you know, just because of his receiving ability. I mean, the guy's exceptional in his receiving ability for a running back.
All right, so
did you ever mention Heath with Drew Brees coming out and saying, "Hey, my right thumb was only at 75% at the end of the year"? You know, don't worry, I'll be. Could you imagine him even making a comment like that?
No.
All right, so on the Saints Report post that we selected, let's see, JB25 Saints says he's the second best running back in the league behind Barkley. Now, Saint Drago says when healthy, he's up there, but I don't know about the second best. In the league, I would say that there's a guy over in Carolina that would argue with him about being second best. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with it. I remember reading that part of it. Even when he's at full strength, I don't know that I could put him at second in a league. He's definitely up there, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, too, like, he's second best in the league at what he does, which, unfortunately, Christian McCaffrey is best in the league at that same thing. But to say he's second best in the league, I mean, what are we calling a running back? I mean, we do something very different with our running backs than a lot of teams. There's teams that he would go to. Like, if he was in Tennessee last year, he wouldn't have ran for 200 yards, and he wouldn't have had the rushing title like Derrick Henry did. He's just not. Yeah. He just can't be substituted in. There's some things that he does very well. What he does when he's on, he's one of the one or two best in the league at. But to just call him a running back and say second best running back in the league is kind of getting out there.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's a great point, though. As far as what he does, ironically, you're exactly right. As for what he does, he is unfortunately second best in the league because, like you said, McCaffrey done came in and did it better.
And the just simple fact is, and what's so sad about this, but this is a business. And the length of running backs' careers isn't that long. And we see this over and over again. And if you get a running back that you get four good years of production out of him after getting him as a rookie, or if you get him in the first round as a fifth year out of him, if you're then going to give them a 4 or 5 year contract at $12 or $15 million a year, the last 2 or 3 years is a good deal for your team. I mean, running backs get beat up. It's going to get worse and worse. And I like Kamara, and I like him as part of our team, but I'm not sure that you can ever commit to a contract like that with somebody anymore.
And not to mention, Heath, your guy Murray is back there playing extremely well, and I think that it would be in the Saints' best interest in general to go ahead and incorporate Murray more into the, you know, the between the tackles, the early down packages. Because here's another thing that really surprised me is how well Murray caught the ball out of the backfield. I mean, not just say, man, if you throw it on him, he'll catch it and maybe turn up field. He actually surprised me with how nimble he was for a guy his size.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was infuriating early in the season because the Saints almost refused to use him for the very reason that I thought the Saints got him. And, you know, and game after game, it was like, why is he not, you know, it's like they went into the season and said, okay, Mark's gone, you know, Kamara's our lead guy now. And Murray's just going to be here to fill, you know, to take some snaps and stuff. But as the season wore on, we finally started seeing him use Murray. You know, he got a couple opportunities there when Kamara was hurt and he performed well.
It was kind of funny, like last year people were saying like, well, he's only got 35 catches in his career. Like he can't catch the ball. And even like Murray was like, well, I've only been throwing the ball 36 times. Like I can catch the ball. They just didn't throw it to me in the other offenses.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. I mean, he does. He catches the ball very well. And so, I mean, I like him a lot. But I think that's they definitely need to go back to balancing the running backs the way they did, you know, when Ingram was here, when Kamara was supposed to affect.
All right, one more thing I want to talk about, the rumors about Jamie Collins. Now, you know, listen, nobody hears Coach Pete, but, you know, when there's a little smoke, there's a little fire. And I think that where you hear about Jamie Collins, the way he's played recently in the last several years, if you match him up with DeMario Davis, you might have yourself a nice linebacking core. Not nice, extremely nice linebacking core.
Yeah. And I think that was coming from Underhill, and, you know, he was with the Saints, and he's covering New England and whatnot. And, but yeah, I mean, boy, talk about a terror at that position, those two guys together. You know, I don't know what kind of money it would take to get him here, but man.
Well, and the kind of speed that he has, you get him and Davis, and let's say, I mean, it's been said this past week that Alex Anzalone says he is back and 100% healthy and ready to go. And if he can stay that way for an entire season like he did in 2018, I mean, that's three very fast running back or linebackers who, like, go to the point of attack. You know, Jamie Collins, his big problem was when he was in Cleveland, he kind of looked like the Stephon Anthony of here. He just went after a play like a missile. He might have gone after the wrong play, but he got somewhere really fast. Last year, it all came together for him in New England where he was blowing up plays. He died off a little bit towards the end of the year. But that's somebody that you put him next to a couple of talented linebackers that can also run. He could do some damage here for sure, especially with the way our defensive line eats up blocks and offensive linemen don't get to the second level too much on our linebackers.
Yeah. And there's a lot of uncertainty at the position for us right now. Klein being a free agent, Kiko Alonso being hurt and having a big cap number. You know, the questions are around Anzalone. You know, look, believe me, I hope to God that's true. I've kind of heard the story before a little bit with him, so I'm going to be a little cautiously optimistic that he's going to be able to come back and keep his arm in socket all season long and everything. But interesting thing
with Jamie Collins, too, is Jamie Collins, I guess some of the rumors were that the market for him wasn't as hot as he hoped it would be, and he actually just fired his agent this week, too. So that could actually lead to possibly a better deal for the Saints if that's true and his agent wasn't doing a good job getting some teams interested in him. We come in with the right offer, and let's go ahead and pick him up the first day that free agency opens.
Yeah, I mean, he had a really good year this past year. I think before that, you know, I think the Cleveland thing was a little bit of an aberration with him. I think he was ascending as a player, and he went over there to Cleveland. And as we, you know, we've seen a lot of careers die in Cleveland. and then he got back over there to New England, and he put together a really good year. And so, you know, we'll see. But
all right, well, we're gonna wrap the show up, and we more than likely will have another show next week when free agency starts. Things will start flying fast and furious. I say that, but I mean, it seems like they're closing everything down, you know, for the health concerns. But having said that, you know, I don't see a guy that a team wants. They're not going to try to fly a guy in for a workout that they know they're going to sign. So I would imagine at least the beginning of free agency would be strong. And I could see maybe the second part of free agency where they actually bring guys in and have talks with them might be a little bit slower, but all in all, I expect that you'll hear from us next week. And as usual, we appreciate your support. Hit that like button and, you know, tell your friends about the BS and Beer podcast crew. For Wesley Coleman and Heath Elson-San, I'm Dave Romero. We'll talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Why don't waste time to tune into our podcast? Oh, go give your time to Davey, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.